Okay, welcome, one and all. Assuming you're all in the right room, this is Sharing Your Treasure, How to Open Up the Bible with Non-Christians. If you came looking for Eric Little, he's next door. I guess the title speaks for itself. We're going to spend some time thinking about how we can best share what is most precious to us with those people around us who dearly, desperately need to hear the good news of what Jesus is, what he has done, and who he is to us. We've spent so much time thinking about union with Christ, how it is this great, incredible blessing, the source of every blessing in God. So naturally, it's a blessing that we want to share with those around us. Let me begin by reading from Isaiah 55, and then I'll pray as we start. So Isaiah 55, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Let's pray. Dear Father, just however we're feeling now at the end of a busy week that has been packed with so much wonderful teaching, so much great relationship and fun, maybe we're feeling buoyed up, maybe we're feeling worn out. I pray that you would speak to us where we are, encourage us, lift us up, and might it be as we focus on Jesus more, as he grows in preciousness in our hearts, that we likewise grow in wisdom and desire to share him with all those that you have placed around us in your wisdom. So I pray that this would be a time of just sharing our own experiences, be they difficult or be they points of thanksgiving before you. Might it be with confidence in your word that it does not return to you empty, but accomplishes everything that you purpose. We can have great confidence as we open up your Bible with others. Bless this time, and may it be to your glory, and might the name of Jesus be honored as we consider this important topic. And in his name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Stephen. So, to start off, I'd like to ask us all a question, and we can turn in our groups and discuss. But what gets in the way of you asking a non-Christian friend to read the Bible with you? So just turn in twos and threes. There might be lots of different answers. Maybe there's one specific one that you find is a bigger reason. Chat with each other for a couple of minutes and then we'll feedback. 2 minutes. Okay. I hope you've had some time to chat. I would love to hear some of what you guys are talking about. Just a few people shout out some of their thoughts. Maybe Anna?
Fear of rejection was a common one.
Yep, definitely get that. Anybody else? Toby?
Lack of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fear of judgment.
In what way, Heather?
Which should be from other people, and then you don't want to be like, oh, I'm that person, you know what I mean, where it's like, oh, they're really like just a bit much, like it's fine for you to believe, but stop trying to push your beliefs.
Yeah. Definitely. Johnny?
Can't articulate it perfectly, but if in the past these people have seen me living in ways which aren't in line with the calling of holiness that we are called to, then I'm worried that shapes how they see the Bible somehow.
Yeah.
You know, are they going to listen to me reading it with them if they've seen me sin?
That's super helpful. Yeah, I think we're definitely going to address that later, but that's definitely something I think we've felt before. Anybody else have any more thoughts? Anything we've not mentioned already? Alex?
I think there's a whole challenge in, like, immediately when I think, I mean, ask a friend to read the Bible, and I think it can happen to some of us, is it feels as if you're asking a favour from them, and to that friend, you can feel the same way if you're thinking in that way. Well, I'm doing him a favour, I'm going to read the Bible with him. And even if they think that, we don't have to, because we're giving them an absolutely amazing gift. And, you know, it's not about being up we're so amazing, we're given a gift. But it is a really good thing. And it's not us in your favour.
Yeah, but it can feel like it, can't it? Like Toby was saying with time, like whether it's our time or their time, you sort of feel, can feel like a big ask.
Mm.
But you're right, absolutely, it's so valuable, even if they don't necessarily see it like that. That's super helpful. So I kind of got similar things, so fear, embarrassment, like that kind of fear of rejection, or if it's fear of what's actually going to happen when we open up the Bible together, like what are they going to think of me, their unwillingness, that as well. Your busyness or your own unwillingness, I think can definitely be the case. Not feeling equipped to open up the Bible with somebody, that we can definitely feel like we're, you know, that's something that, you know, John does or a ministry trainee does, that's not something that I do. Another one, I don't have non-Christian friends. That could definitely be for something. Who am I even going to ask? So basically, there's always an excuse. And honestly, the excuses do feel quite convincing. As much as I am known for my almost excessive enthusiasm, the thought of reading the Bible with a non-Christian friend has often filled me with dread. And even though now I still can't tell you that every time I've read the Bible with a non-Christian, it's been wonderful, I can tell you that the idea of inviting someone to read the Bible now fills me with hope and actually excitement. A year ago, not quite a year ago, but a year ago, I went to a seminar on this exact topic at our Women's Teaching Day, coming up soon, ladies, so watch out for that. And honestly, I only went because Kirsty told me to. I had this like niggle at the back of my mind that I'd never asked my mum to read the Bible with me. And as I sat down, I secretly hoped that Amy, who was leading the seminar, would start by saying something like, you know, maybe there are some people that you shouldn't bother asking. Maybe for some people, like asking them to read the Bible would actually be unhelpful or off-putting, or like wouldn't actually be the best way to go about things. But no, she got us to think about the people that we are totally convinced would never actually say yes, and challenged us to think about asking precisely those people. I was like, oh, shoot. But by the end of the teaching day, I'd resolved to ask my mum to read the Bible with me. John, remember, I saw him afterwards, and I was like, John, I've just realised I've got to ask my mum to read the Bible with me. But I was actually feeling quite hopeful about it. And so in our time together, I want us to see that actually asking somebody to read the Bible with you is both one of the most exciting and the most important things that we get to do as Christians. I'm personally convinced that God doesn't invite us to participate in his work of saving sinners to punish us. But it's not judgment, Heather. But because it is the most exciting part of the Christian life. And so I just have to think about it. Have you ever seen those videos of those baby guillemot birds who, like, you know, as soon as that they live on the cliffs, and as soon as they are like slightly, you know, they've sort of grown up a little bit and they have to leave the nest, the first thing they do after leaving the nest is jump off the cliff and they learn how to fly on the way down. Do you know the videos I'm talking about? And they sort of plummet down this cliff face, and you're watching the videos and you're like, ah, they're gonna die. And sometimes I think we feel a bit like that when it comes to evangelism. Like, it's like you become a Christian and God is like, go make disciples. And you're like, feel like you're plummeting down this cliff face trying to figure out how to evangelize as you like flap, you know, desperately. like your life depends on it. But I'm persuaded that rather than being like baby birds jumping off cliffs, we're more like trained military paratroopers, armed ambassadors for the gospel. It's very exciting. And so then, therefore, the question is, in what way am I like an armed ambassador for the gospel? How am I like a paratrooper when all I feel like is a baby bird? And so to move on to our first section of why should we read the Bible with a non-Christian friend? And to answer that question, I thought we should read the Bible. So, let's flick to John 20, John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. And when somebody's got there, if they can just put their hand up and read it out for us, that would be amazing. Hannah has turned there. Okay, you were looking at me, you were looking at me guiltily. Yeah. Great. Alex, 20, verse 30 to 31. Oh, sorry, 20, actually good, 29 to 29 to 31.
Okay. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
Thank you so much. So sometimes we may feel like it's impossible for our friends to believe in Jesus unless they see him for themselves. Maybe they've even said that to you. But Jesus says that those who believe without seeing him are blessed. So Jesus himself thinks that people can become Christians, believe in Jesus, and have eternal life in his name without seeing him. And John goes on to write that this is the very purpose for which he has written his gospel, so that people would believe that Jesus is the Christ. And that means that God's word itself is the means by which God saves his people. And that is really good news for us for multiple reasons. Firstly, he hasn't left us on our own to figure out how to evangelize. Secondly, his word isn't just an instruction manual with a list of how-tos for evangelism. But his word himself, itself, is how he saves people. So it's not just that he's gone, oh, it's not even just that he's given us the Bible to teach us how to do the evangelism, but the gospel itself is his way of saving people. And it's God's way of God saving his people. So this makes sense, doesn't it? If evangelism literally means gospeling people, what better way to gospel people than to get them reading the gospels? And so for those of us who panic and freeze up when we try to share the gospel with people, this should be a massive relief, because when the Bible is open, you don't need to figure out what to say, but God speaks for himself. And so I had a really fun time doing a survey of the things that the Bible says about the power of God's word for salvation. You can see them at the top of the section in the handout. There's lots of them. I decided that we wouldn't do a table, which, does that invalidate this as a seminar? Can you do a seminar without a table? I don't know. But genuinely, please do go through and read them for yourself, because I think they are the most encouraging thing when we come to read the Bible, even just for ourselves in our own personal quiet time, but also when we're thinking about reading God's word with other people. I mean, it's just so encouraging. So maybe write them in the cover of your Bible to come back to you at another time. And so when I'm on the way to maybe meet somebody to read the Bible, these are the verses that I'm praying back to God, remembering for myself, encouraging myself with. And John 20, 31 is one of my absolute go-tos. But another one is the one that Stephen read out earlier, which is Isaiah 55, verses 11 to 12. I'm going to read it again, because why not? Because it's great. And if you want to hear it in song, I'm not going to sing it for you. But there is a song that I know by Andrew Peterson, which basically sings it, and it's incredibly encouraging. So it says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." So when God's word goes out, God's word speaks powerfully. Verse 10 likens it to bringing to watering the crop, bringing life, sustaining, feeding. And when people read God's word, they have to respond to it. Some will reject it, and some will accept it in faith. We know that. We've seen people reject it. We've seen ourselves and our friends and others accept it. But Isaiah 55 gives me the confidence that every time I read the Bible with someone, God is at work through his word, and he accomplishes his purposes. And so it's kind of amazing to think that every time we read the Bible with someone, it's a success. Even when we do something wrong, or sometimes we, like you were saying, Johnny, like maybe we feel like people are going to think, maybe have wrong impressions, or not wrong impressions of us, correct impressions of us, that we are sinful. But sometimes that might influence people's view of the Bible. But when we open the word, even where we fail, God succeeds. And so it's not about me, it's about God working through his word. And that can give us really real confidence when we want to do that. So that's kind of why the Bible says that it's really good to read the Bible with our non-Christian friends. But there are another couple of practical things that mean that it's also quite helpful. So firstly, we are more likely to say true things and not shy away from difficult topics that we might find we want to steer away from. And it speaks for us itself. If we are reading through Mark, we have to read all of it. We can't just, like, if we start skipping things, our friends are going to notice and they're not going to be happy about it. So they learn about who God is on his terms rather than on our terms. Secondly, if you want to invite people to come to church, they have a bit of a head start. When people sit and then somebody opens the Bible and starts reading it, it won't be totally alien to them to be listening to what is being the Bible is saying. More importantly, though, we show people what our authority is, that it is God's word, not the words of man. So when I ended up reading the Bible with my mum, it was so helpful to show where my authority lay. It wasn't in a preacher. It wasn't in my own thoughts. It was in God's word alone. And so it means that I'm not asking them to believe me, but I'm asking them to believe God's word. And exactly this, when your family know and your friends know better than anyone how flawed you are, it is incredibly helpful to be able to show people for themselves what God's word says. It also puts you on equal footing with them. So you're learning from God's word together rather than you being their teacher. So if you've ever been one of your friends' only Christian friends, you may know the feeling of becoming someone's personal Christian guru. So this has two effects. Firstly, the pressure is on you to know absolutely everything. And if you don't know absolutely everything as the voice of all Christianity, you lose all credibility. And secondly, people think that you are an expert with your life put together, and then you become a bit of an annoying know-it-all. Been there, done that. And so I read the Bible with my friend Esther for 6 months last year, and we read through John with the Word one-to-one app. We'll talk more about that later. And it was great because we learned from God's word together, and the answers were all there in the Bible rather than stored up in my head. And so she would ask questions as things came up in the passage, and usually the passage answered them for us. And sometimes I would have to go away and do some thinking or do some research myself and come back the next week, and we'd open up the Bible somewhere else together. But it was very much a sense of we're sitting together, seeing what God's word says, and encouraging each other. And she challenged me as she asked questions, and it was great. And it felt like we could do that very easily as friends the same age. It wasn't like I was sort of sitting over her as her teacher. So I hope that has given you a bit of a head start as to like why it's a really good thing to read the Bible with somebody. There are obviously more reasons. There are more things that we could talk about, but we would love for you to spend some time practicing yourself in a bit. But now Stephen is going to come and chat to us about how to ask someone. How might you go about asking somebody to read the Bible with you?
Good question. Yeah, I will say now, evangelism, opening up the Bible with non-Christians, it is an exposing thing. It shows you a lot in your heart that you maybe kind of didn't know what was there. That's a good thing. That's something to take to God in prayer. And actually, it's a wonderful thing for our own understanding and confidence in Scripture as we open it up with others, as we speak these truths from God's words. We are sharpened, we are challenged to think more carefully about what it is we believe and why. And as we do open up with others, we gain fresh perspectives. We gain a different light on many of the promises that God makes and many of the things that he says. But anyway, we want this to be practical time. Quite often, just the hardest part of any project or running a race, starting a competition of some kind, is just getting to the starting line and getting going. So we want to think about that now. How can we practically ask someone to read the Bible with us? What I'd like you to do now is maybe with the pairs, the threes you were just chatting amongst, I would like you to draft a text that you might send to a non-Christian friend. So I want you to do two things. I want you to write what you think is a good example of a text, and basically just asking that question, would you like to read the Bible with me? And I want you to write a bad example as well. I'm slightly worried about what's going to come out of that, but like, what do you think is a bad way of asking? So that's two texts. You can write it on your phone, since it is a text. You may already have one that you've used before that you've sent to someone. You can use that. Good example, bad example, asking someone to read the Bible. Okay. Shall we start with the negative first? Does anybody want to share the bad example that they wrote? Yeah?
Hello. Recently, I have become so lonely, I feel sorry for everyone else who isn't like me. Practice you. And it's doomed for destruction. If you want to learn from me, then...
I mean, what makes that such an unhelpful example?
That was my good one.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, it's good you're here to learn. What is just so unhelpful about that? I mean, if it needs spelt out. Yeah.
Definitely flies in the face of who is the authority.
Yes, absolutely. I have all the wisdom to share, not so much the Bible.
Yeah. Humility.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, not an easy person to learn from. Someone who's kind of puffed up with their own importance and achievement. So humility, very valuable, necessary. anyone else want to share their bad example? Yo, bro. Song of Solomon for the lols. Yes.
We went the other way,
go ahead.
We really wanted to get the gravity of the situation across.
Yeah.
So we were going for, you will burn for eternity. Your indifference is an affront to a holy and righteous God. Unless you repent immediately by turning to his great word, you will join the accursed sinners in the eternal pyre.
Anybody wants to weigh in? Like, how? In what way is that unhelpful?
I can only want to shy away from the hard truths, but maybe we also want to appear, maybe not hard, the beauty of the gospel.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually say, "Would you like to read the Bible?"
I guess that's the key thing as well.
Like, that clarity is important.
Yeah, we want to hold out God's word. Yeah. Okay. any if you have positive examples you want to share, or maybe like a message that you've sent yourself to someone, I'd love to hear that as well. Does anybody want to share what else they wrote? Kind of slightly worried you spent all your time on the bad examples now. Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
We just sent a message to all my friends.
Alex just sent a message.
Right the second?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We didn't actually even focus on the bad one, because I think that the worst you can do is not send one.
Mm.
In the first place.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're sending those messages.
Well, at least it's a Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us what you wrote?
Yeah, apart from all the beginning bit, like catching up, I do fencing with him. I've seen him come to Toast Bar a few times. So I was saying, yeah, looking forward to lots of Toast Bar fencing this semester. Hope to see you there. I was wondering whether you'd like to dive deeper into the Bible with me. It was really awesome to chat to you about Jesus. I've got this book which goes through the Gospel of Luke, basically an overview of Jesus' life and teachings. We could get together every so often and read it together. I would really love that.
Yeah. That's really helpful. Yeah. And that's a message that you just wrote now and
yeah.
Just sent off. Yeah, I mean, helpful. Yeah, that's amazing. Oh, well, let me tell you what you got wrong. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's helpful. I mean, I think that's really helpful encouragement. I mean, there is just an element of just go and do it. Don't overthink it. I mean, I'm assuming none of you were kind of like in that kind of bad example territory of like, oh, this is what I should be saying. I mean, be honest, be open, and be genuine in what you're sharing. And yeah, I mean, just do it. I was quite challenged by preparing for this seminar. I mean, whereas I had, one friend who I've been kind of meeting up with for a couple of years and haven't been that proactive in sharing my faith and I haven't at any point suggested reading the Bible. So I sent him a message a couple of days ago. I mean, what I wrote was, after having exchanged pleasantries about Christmas and New Year, I just said, by the way, I wondered if you were free to catch up sometime soon and to chat more specifically about my Christian faith. I started the year thinking about how I can share what I believe about Jesus with others. It's a message which I'm convinced is wonderful and very important news that everyone needs to hear. This was someone who's come along to quite a few of our carol services. So I said, like, I guess you've gained a decent sense of what my church believes through past carol services. But I would certainly appreciate a conversation where we chat about Jesus and I explain why he's so valuable to me. I'd be really interested to hear more about what you think. His response was, that sounds awful. Get away from me, you crazy loon. No, that was not his response. Actually, all he responded was, we'd love to catch up. That sounds good. Yeah, it is a scary thing, but it's something that we can do with hope. So on the handout, we're in the how to ask someone to read the Bible section. I've just kind of put a couple of key points there. So my first thing that I put there is joy, not duty. To be sure, we are, I think, commanded to make disciples of every nation, to be open with our faith. It is a command, so it's to some extent a duty. But duty is not fuel, it's not our heart motivation. I think that needs to be joy. A couple of verses from Matthew, Jesus says, I can never remember which way around it is, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Unless he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So your heart is where your treasure is. This should be the thing that is at the center of who we are. Likewise, Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we're thinking about the gospel, let me just ask this quickly. Who is the gospel for? Who is the gospel for? Everyone. Yeah, that's the helpful answer. The gospel is not just for non-Christians. The gospel is for us too. And the position we want to come from in sharing, opening up the Bible with our friends, is from a position of joy, of satisfaction in him. So I think big implication of that is we should consider what our view of Jesus is. Are we delighting in him? Is this gospel something that we are finding hope in? And I think that's going to be something that strongly motivates us in our sharing, but it's also going to be something that comes across as we just send that initial text, as we, God willing, sit down to open the Bible. And this is something that has made a difference to us. This is something that is giving us continual hope. this is something which is changing us and making us better. There's a work of transformation there. So think carefully about what your view of Jesus is. Give your testimony and show why this is relevant to you, why it matters. I mean, that's something that can be really enticing, really capturing to others. I mean, second implication of that should shape how we ask. I mean, a couple of things that, I mean, I've kind of found quite helpful, just ways of presenting that request to read the Bible with someone in a way that will make sense, the way that is natural. Where we are Christians, I guess Christ is the one who is central to our new identity. So actually, if friends are serious about kind of knowing us and being friends with us, then, well, they're not really going to understand us unless they kind of understand that thing which is at the heart. So this is a good opportunity to say, hey, this is something that is really important to me. I think it's central to who I am. So I'd love to share that with you so you can understand who I am better. So as a way of strengthening our friendship. That then follows that we're asking reciprocal questions of them. We're trying to understand them on the same level, understanding just what is at their heart, what is at their core. As we've already thought about, it means presenting it as treasure. This is not something that is kind of meh to us, but it's something that we want to open up, we want to share because it's so precious to us. I think it'd be a helpful thing to even just chat about those kind of, it's good to have like one of those like texts just kind of written out, like just kind of think about it, maybe think about it alongside someone else and have it there ready to go. But so joy, consider where you're coming from, where that heart motivation is. So joy, not duty. Another thing, fumbling is fine. I certainly am someone who is very aware of my own weakness. I was meditating this morning upon 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, where Paul says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So I will rejoice all the more in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So actually, if we go into this exuding strength, actually kind of full of confidence in a self-confident way, in a sense that leaves less room for Christ's power to work. That is drawing attention to ourselves and not the one to whom we want all the glory to be. So fumbling is fine. You look at kind of, I don't know, many people around you just seem to be able to kind of do this quite naturally. There's a slickness. It seems polished. And that's good if that's your manner, that's fine. But it's okay to fumble over your words, it's okay to be uncertain. And I guess that comes back to where we're putting our authority. Our confidence is in God, is in His power and in His word. It's not down to us, therefore it's fine and it's right that we feel weak and show some of that weakness. I think if anything, we're fumbling over words. That's a sign that we are nervous, and nerves come from thinking something is important, that it really matters. So that might speak in itself. Third thing I put there, get support. This is not something you have to do by yourself. It's wonderful that we're all here together, and I pray this will be an encouraging time as we are sharing with one another. But I think it's a good thing to make a part of your relationships with other Christians, regularly praying about non-Christians, friends that you want to share your faith with. I think these engage bookmarks. I mean, the point of a bookmark is you put it in your book and then you're less likely to lose it. I don't know whose that is, just kicking around. But I mean, I think that's a wonderful thing, and actually something to do alongside one another. Pray regularly for specific people who you are hoping to... Is it yours? No, sorry. Pray for people who are passionate about, want to kind of be committed to sharing Christ with. Pray for one another. Get advice from one another. I mean, opening up the Bible, like it's not the most straightforward thing. I mean, I know I've got one relationship at the moment where I'm reading the Bible with someone. I kind of feel like we keep kind of moving away from being really focused on what the Bible is saying and actually thinking about more abstract questions. Not insignificant questions, but it kind of feels, it often feels quite untethered. I'm genuinely still figuring out how to best handle that. What I have not yet done, but I'm going to do, is actually just talking to other people and trying to get a sense from maybe wiser Christians and those peers around me of how can I actually be bringing that study back to focus on Jesus and what God's word says. As well, like one practical thing you can do, studying the Bible with someone one-to-one, great, that's really good. You can also do that as part of a group. You don't need to do it by yourself. One helpful thing might be to actually just arrange to meet up with a Christian friend to study the Bible and to make that your invitation. Oh, I regularly meet up with this friend to study the Bible because we think it's important. We think it's just a wonderful thing. Why don't you come and join us? And that means you can be partnering alongside others in exploring the Word together. Maybe just a bit less of an intense invitation, maybe. So you can do it with other people. It doesn't have to be one-to-one. And last thing I'll say for now, expect cost, hope for reward. There is risk to asking people this question. It's putting your head above the parapet. You may well get hit. You may well have adverse reactions. There may be a lost reputation. There may be people who think of you differently and relationships that are damaged because you have been open about your faith. You have been open with sharing it. So we want to be honest about that. Like, there is cost, there is danger. But this is so much greater, there is so much reward on offer. I guess we've been thinking again about this great union that we have in Christ. The cost, in a sense, is kind of, it's this, where we think about what is an offer, particularly for our friends who don't know Jesus. The reward, the potential reward, is this. And if there is any risking of relationship, I was just thinking about this morning. This is risking a temporal relationship in the possibility that we may then gain an eternal relationship. If you being open about your faith and sharing the Bible means they come to seriously consider Jesus and everything that he claims, that might just mean that this is a friendship that will last into eternity as they come to know and to trust in Jesus, and God willing, that is what will happen. There's some practical encouragements. I'm gonna pass back to Grace. We're gonna think about what to do when they say yes.
So, I like the title of this section because it's very hopeful, because often people do say yes, as we've heard from lots of different people over the course of the week. I'm just going to talk for a little bit longer and then we're going to do some practical stuff, so just stay with me for a second. I've told a few of you, if you're in my life group or we just chatted, about my friend who I met in a cafe. So we became friends. She worked in the cafe. And I had opportunities to talk to her about my faith, and she was quite interested. So she's just moved back to Bangladesh. She was only here for a couple of years. But before she left, really wanted to read the Bible with her at least once. So one day, when I was going to her house for lunch, I prayed on my way that God would give me the opportunity and the courage that she would say yes. And when I was working myself up to asking her, and we were eating lunch, really good food. Somebody from Bangladesh invites you for food, say yes. And I'm sort of working up the courage to ask her. And then she just suddenly goes, "Oh, Grace, I'm just feeling so sort of, it's just really hard. There are these Mormons who keep calling me and inviting me to come to church with them, and they just keep pestering me, and I'm just there like, Lord, really? This is the worst possible context for me to ask her to read the Bible. And I was like, she'll never say yes now. But the Lord just kept nudging me, and so I prayed and decided to ask before I left. And to my surprise, she said yes. And so the question now is, what do we do when they say yes? And so let's have just a quick think about the shape of a helpful discussion. So It will look different for each friend because all of our friends are different and we are all different. Like some of you would maybe go to the pub, some of you would maybe go for a coffee, some of you would like to cook for your friends or have some baking or do it sitting on the beach. There's no one right way to do it, but it usually follows a similar pattern. So always good to pray beforehand, because if we really believe that it's God who is at work through his word to save people, then we want to be entrusting that time to God, asking him to give us wisdom. We know it's him who saves people, not us who saves them. And it's good both to remind ourselves of that and to entrust that to him. Usually start with a catch up, unless you're like, we literally have 30 minutes and we both really want to do this, so we're just going to do it. Probably good to catch up with them. So 15 minutes to 30 minutes, depends on how busy your friends are, depends on how much they like to chat, depends on how much you like to chat. And then Bible study. So we're going to practice this portion together now. So you've all studied Mark in life groups, if you've been here in your first year. So we're going to take the first 15 verses of Mark. And if you're reading through a whole passage like we are in Mark 1, probably want to start by reading the passage through all together, both together. Probably you might want to do this, especially at the beginning. People are unfamiliar often with reading the Bible out loud. And there might be words that are unfamiliar to them. They might stumble over it. It might make them feel a bit uncomfortable. So I would just go for you reading it at the beginning, if you're reading a whole passage. When I read it with Esther, when we were reading the word one-to-one, sometimes we'd alternate who read each little section, but it depends on what your friends are comfortable with. And so I'd usually then ask for their initial impressions, initial questions after reading it. Obviously, sometimes you can get totally diverted by people's questions, but if you're asking what are your questions about the passage, then it's really helpful just to sort of know where their mind is at when they first read it. And so sometimes I'd be like, okay, we're definitely gonna get to that later. Let's sort of work through. Sometimes it might be really fundamental and you're like, okay, let's chat about this first. So when I read with my mum, she was like, who is John? Who wrote this? After we read the first bit, I was like, okay, we should probably answer that question before we start reading it. So it depends on what their questions are. And then with Mark, we can always ask three questions. So you've all read through Mark, or you will have read through Mark by the end of the year. Great place to start if you're wanting to. And no matter where you are in Mark, you can ask, who is Jesus? Why did he come? And how should we respond? So I think you've got them on your sheet. And so remember, yes, you are asking the questions, but you are discussing it together, not quizzing them. So they can share a few thoughts, you can share a few thoughts, but also you don't do all the talking. Yes?
So were you saying you read through the passage first and then ask their initial impressions?
Mm-hmm.
Or,
okay. As opposed to?
Asking their initial impressions beforehand.
Well, I mean, it's great if you're chatting with your friend. It's good to know where they sort of have their experience of the Bible before, like whether they've read it before, any conceptions that they have of it. You could totally ask them that. But I think if you're asking, you would want to, when you've read the passage, maybe ask them what their initial thoughts are.
Okay.
And so, I mean, like Stephen was saying, you can definitely be led down some tangents. But if you think that they're genuinely interested, feel free to say, you know, as we keep reading through Mark, these questions will be answered. And so you can park some of them for later. And then after we finish the Bible study portion, do some more general chat, like catch up a bit more. And then at the end, you might ask how they found it. Like, how did you find reading the Bible? Ask if they'd like to do it again. They might say no, they might say yes. There's no pressure. I read the Bible with my mum one time for 20 minutes and haven't read it with her again, but I'm still reading the Bible with Esther online a year later, and so both are totally fine. So think we will get practicing. So if you turn in your pairs or threes, like Stephen was saying, you might not want to, you might be doing it as a three, you might be doing it as a little group, you might not just be doing it as a two, so feel free to do that. And then if you're in a two, maybe one of you can lead one to eight, as if you were the Christian and your friends are non-Christian, and then swap. Yeah, you are, but you know, and then swap so that the next person leads 1, 9 to 15. Asking these three questions, so some of them might be more prevalent at certain parts of the passage than others. And then Stephen and I will wander around, and so feel free to ask us any questions and just wave us over if you want to. And then after that, Stephen will come back and share some helpful top tips. But we have like 20-25 minutes to do that, if you guys are happy with that. Wonderful. Have a go.
Shall we come back together now? Time is sadly against us, but I'd be really interested to hear just what your experience of that was. What were your reflections? What did you kind of learn, realize? What did you find difficult? What questions do you have? So what do you think? How did you find that? Yeah, Karen. Go ahead.
This is embarrassing, but in verse 6, why did you choose to look as a
bond? So, in, are you asking what the relevance of that is, or why John is doing that?
Or I can save this question for later.
I think it's a very good question. It's not quite what we're thinking about right now. It is a very valuable question. Let's talk about it later, if that's okay. But I think that's a helpful thing. Like, we want to... I mean, if we're going to sit down and study the Bible with someone and we want to have kind of carefully thought about the passage beforehand and to have thought about stuff like that, thinking about how to present it well, how to explain it well, even while trusting that God's word will speak for itself. Any more thoughts, reflections?
Bouncing off Karen, actually, one thing, having read this with non-Christian friends and even rereading it now, like all the questions that they might come up with, like anticipating, like that's always a challenge. You know, I always think I know what they might like zoom in on, and think, yeah. Oh yeah, they're gonna like really ask this. But sometimes it's been as simple as, you know, I don't know, telling Johnny, a friend was like, "Why was John arrested? Like, what happened there? Like, we just like, there's no explanation." And like, they really found that really disconcerting. It was great to be able to say, actually, in a couple chapters' time, we will be told about that.
Yeah,
but those questions can be. I never cease to be surprised by what people will zoom in on. Maybe the honey and the weird diet.
Yeah. That's a helpful thing, actually. I mean, I guess we kind of like come to Mark kind of looking for theological insight and pastoral wisdom. But actually, it is a really gripping, compelling story at the same time. Like, I think I'm probably the same. Like, John getting arrested, that's quite a dramatic development. Kind of overlook that. But it's something that, I mean, I guess naturally going to catch people's attention. Yeah, be prepared to be surprised. Yeah, any other thoughts, reflections?
I was surprised by how many things I took for granted, like knowing who all the characters were. I had a lot of questions asking, like, the characters and their exact Christian status and all this stuff, and I'm like,
Yeah.
But also, like, I thought it was helpful because then I practiced being like, oh, I'm actually not sure. So I think it probably puts you on more of an even playing field. So then you're growing and learning together. And then that's quite a good segue to be like, you never fully know everything. There's always more to learn.
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing to model. Like, if you're not sure what the answer to something is, just say like, yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure about that. Let me go away and think about it. Or let's talk more about it now. It's okay to not have the answers. I mean, I think that can be assumed you're not going to know everything. But that is fine. Yeah. Go ahead, Daniel.
I just struck by what a helpful starting point this is. Especially with the verse in Isaiah, which is an opportunity to point back. And like from the beginning, you can give a kind of overview of what's happened, well, in the first few thousand years of the Bible, but and you know, coming down to why Jesus came. It's a good section to begin
really have that overview. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, God willing, if you were studying the beginning of Mark's Gospel with a friend, that would be the first of lots of studies in Mark's Gospel. But if that was the only opportunity you had, like, there's a clear picture of Jesus as being one who is significant, challenges a lot of the preconceptions that people might have about who Jesus is, and shows there's something really interesting, worth looking into more. I mean, all scripture is God-breathed and useful, but Mark's Gospel is, particularly powerful, I think, in presenting Jesus. Johnny, we... Yeah,
just to build on to that, he was saying someone could reasonably ask, why does Mark begin by talking about this random guy instead of Jesus himself?
Yeah.
But it does provide a really nice opportunity to summarize everything that's happened in the Old Testament so far. You know, God created his people, rebelled, it was a pattern of sin, but he promised that one day he would send someone to save him from their sin. And now, this is John coming to say, the Savior is here, so listen up.
Yeah, really helpful. There's so much more that we could say about this. I hope that was encouraging. I mean, I think it's a good practice to kind of keep on applying, chatting to your friends, and I mean, doing kind of practice studies with one another. I mean, we're going to think of a couple of resources that you can use. I guess right now, right there, you were kind of like trying to think of questions yourself, building on those three initial questions, but you can use other studies which will kind of present you with helpful questions to ask that will guide you through the passage. I mean, a couple of helpful hints as we come to a close. I think, I mean, there's a lot of really helpful stuff that you guys have shared already. I think one thing I would say, like, it is a difficult thing to share the Bible, to go through this process. I think in both a skill level in just explaining God's word and an emotional spiritual sense as well. If people aren't getting it, if people aren't responding to that initial request to read the Bible together, it's easy to take that personally and to wonder, like, well, this is something that I'm doing wrong. I read something helpful recently I think this was Glenn Scrivener saying that you can't make somebody respond with awe. I guess what our place is to imagine standing in front of the Grand Canyon and you point at it, you draw attention to this wonderful thing, and you're not responsible for the reaction, but you're a witness. You want to speak faithfully, you want to share this wonderful truth, but you're not responsible for people's responses. And take that to God. I guess don't take it personally when things are difficult, but trust in God in all things. And it may well be that the response you get is maybe not a kind of definite no, I don't want to do this, while it might not be an unambiguous yes. It's good to be patient with people, not forcing things upon them, not pressing too hard. I'm encouraging them to read the Bible with you, but while also not just asking once and then leaving it again, but looking for other opportunities to talk more about kind of what you hope for, what you believe, and maybe asking again in the future and repeating that question. I don't know. I don't think I have much else to share that we haven't discussed already. Does anyone have, from your own experience, just like helpful hints that you would share, some things, the valuable lessons that you've learned while doing this? Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
Time planning is an absolute nightmare. the first session I was like, right guys, come over for an hour. They each had commitments right after the end of the hour. And I had commitments that I had to push back, which was fine.
Yeah.
Worth it. But we ended up chatting for like 2 or 3 hours for the first time, which was great. But also, yeah, it's just absolutely impossible to plan. There's so many tangents, there's so many things. Sometimes I'll say, well, I've got a thing at 10, but what they mean to me is I've got a thing at 11. And so they'll just actually stay and keep chatting and stuff like that. So basically give yourself a whole lot of time, which isn't great, because I mean, obviously it takes even more time for you, but it is worth it.
Yeah, and it's a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice worth making. Yeah. another call to be patient, where maybe friends are kind of eager, but it's just difficult to pin them down, keep on working at it.
I guess if you're less time rich, so I'm reading the Bible with friends from high school at the moment, and it's a real joy. But they're parents, they're workers, and some of you have 3 hours, and that's great. And some of us have got 45 minutes. I try and like actually have worked out in my head, like, okay, catch up is up until this point. Then we'll read, and then we can always kind of open up to questions. And I love telling them that. It's been really helpful to say, hey, we're going to be up for an hour. And I was hoping that we could spend at least 40 minutes reading and discussing the passage. Does that sound okay? And that clarity is helpful. And then if it goes beyond that, great. But knowing what they're committing to can be really helpful.
Thanks, John. Anything else burning that anybody wants to? Anna, will you? Yeah. Yeah, that's really helpful. Don't go alone. God has given you a whole church worth of people around you to support you, to pray with you, and to just help us figure things out as we walk side by side. So make use of the resources God has given you in one another. We will finish by praying in a moment. I guess we have a couple of resources that we wanted to quickly flag up. Grace, tell us about this book.
So, this is called Stay Salt. So when I was in my first year at CU, this was like the book that everyone was reading, and I didn't read it. Because I don't know whether it was the... I don't know why I didn't read it. But Kirsty was like, oh, I think this would be a helpful one for the seminar. And I was like, okay. So I started reading it. Oh my goodness, it's so encouraging. Like, just this Rebecca Bradley Pippa, incredible author, incredible story of how she became a Christian and how she just straight away got stuck into reading the Bible with people because they were so curious about what happened to her. And just so enthusiastic, so encouraging, loads of stories of her experiences of sharing her faith. So it's in three sections. So the means, the message, and the method. So if you're like, how on earth do I share my faith with people? This will both be massively encouraging, show you the incredible power of prayer, God's total sovereignty over everything, but also super duper practical in terms of what you might do, both learning from her example and her giving some like really helpful tips. I mean, it's got some incredible recommendations by loads of different people who have found it very, very helpful. Highly recommend. If you want to buy it and then chat to me about it and we can discuss it together, I'd absolutely love that. So I really do recommend, and reading books like these has like, it's been absolutely what has sustained me in my Christian life, in just keeping me really enthusiastic about seeing people come to know Jesus and giving me new and fresh ideas about how I might do that. Yes.
Brilliant. We've also mentioned Uncover Mark, Luke and John from UCCF and the Word 1-2-1, which I think is available both as a physical book and as an app as well. I mean, Uncover Questions are available online as well. These are just very helpful, structured ways of approaching God's Word. People put a lot of thought into just how to structure them well. So they're good to make use of. I think we're into break time now. I'm just going to read from... do you have anything else to add?
Come chat to any of us if you're like,
yes,
I want more. I want to know more about how I might go about this in a specific situation. Ask us to pray for you. Ask your friends to pray for you. I love asking my life group to pray for me in these specific areas and like feeding back each week about how things have gone. Pray a lot.
Let me read from Mark 1 and then we'll pray to close. And he, John, preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Our Father, we thank you for John's example. He was not one who sought to bring attention to himself, but he wanted to operate as a spotlight, turning the focus of those who flocked to him, to Jesus, the one so much greater than he, so much powerful than he, the one in whom is every spiritual blessing, every good thing that we could possibly hope for. I thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. I thank you that you've opened the eyes of our hearts. And Lord, you have called us to be like John in going out and sharing your word, living for you, transformed lives by your resurrection power. And we just pray that you would strengthen us in that. Use this as a process to grow us as we are sharpened in our understanding and our ways of explaining your gospel and your word. As our heart is exposed, as we see stuff that is ugly and unpleasant, maybe that all the reasons we might list for not sharing you, for wanting to hold back our treasure, help us to grapple with those things and to grow as you graciously work in us by your Holy Spirit. And yeah, we pray for success. We pray with thanksgiving that your word will not return to you empty. It will accomplish exactly what you intend it to. Your word does not fail. And as it's placed in our hands, though we are weak, though we fumble, though we are afraid, as we present it, it is not going to fail to do what you purpose it to do. But Lord, keep us looking with eager hearts for response, for growth. As we plant the seed of your word, might we see just a great harvest coming up around us. And that is not us, but that is your mighty work as you transform hearts of flesh into hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, rather. So yeah, send us out expectantly, confidently relying on your words and in prayer, depending on one another and with eyes of faith. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay.